Grace to you all and peace. And I want to say it again because it's so familiar we kind of glide past it. Grace and peace. Those are the gifts that should come to you from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. I tried to return something recently. It proved surprisingly difficult. To be fair, it was entirely my fault. So as this story unfolds, I want to make sure none of you feel compelled to organize a Mount Olivet boycott of Home Depot. First problem, I had thrown away the packaging like an absolute rookie. So when I walked into the store and presented that issue, the customer service rep suggested I go get the same item off the shelf, bring it up, she could scan it and match it to my receipt. Second problem, I don't know if you've been in a Home Depot before, they're large. My item was in the far back corner, so I tracked all the way back there to discover the item was sold out. So I walked back up, got in line again, got up to the same person, and I said, "It's sold out." So she explained to me, using small words, that I could get the number they needed off the label on the shelf. So I walked all the way back, took a picture of the shelf label. Great, now let's just scan that receipt. Third problem, I don't technically officially have the receipt. Now this one really doesn't feel like my fault because I always select the email option precisely so I'm never in this predicament. So I'm scanning through my inbox, I pull up a receipt, she scans it, it makes a very sad and eventually very annoying sound. Doot doot, nope, not that one. Pull up another receipt, doot doot, nope, doot doot, nothing. None of the receipts, it's not on any of them. Well, no worries. We can look it up with the card I used to make the purchase. Fourth problem, I forgot the card at home. Would I like store credit? Not really, but fine. I have my kids with me. As luck would have it, Home Depot is handing out free hot cocoa this day, so they're all hopped up, getting real antsy. Let's just get this done. Right away, sir, could we please have your driver's license? You're anticipating. Fifth problem, I forgot my license at home with that credit card. So I leave, defeated. This story isn't done, so I hope you're enjoying it, because I find time a few days later to go back, this time with the credit card and the driver's license. I explain the whole situation to the new customer service rep. I show them the picture of the label. I tell them I lost the receipt, they ask for the credit card, and real cocky-like, I hand it to them like, of course I have the credit card. Sixth problem. Nope, it wasn't purchased with that card, sir. Well, maybe it was this other card, which, by the way, I had on the first trip to Home Depot. Nope, not that one either. An hour later, we've gone through every single credit card, debit card, and library card in my wallet, and it's nowhere to be found. At this point, the woman, very politely, in a roundabout sort of way, but an unmistakable way, suggested, had I maybe possibly stolen this item? So I booked it. I left again feeling defeated, discouraged, a little angry. It was disappointing. By the way, just so you think well of me, it's important to me that you think well of me. We figured it out later. My wife had run out and bought this item on her credit card, and she, of course, had the receipt. And I know a lot of wives in this room knew that that was probably, why didn't you just ask her? That's what she said. Mark, why didn't you just ask me? John said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. How straight did my way sound in that story? I drove to the store twice, looked for receipts, looked for credit cards, did a couple laps around the store, got a picture of a UPC label, talked to two customer service reps, waited in line, managed the kids, and after all that, I left disappointed. For how many people do you think that might be their story when it comes to church? Faith. When they have tried to receive the grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grace is a full refund. No questions asked. No strings attached. No hoops to jump through. It's a terrible business model. But it is the way of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it can't get any straighter. But I fear so much of what we do is to make unstraight that straight way of the Lord. We make it convoluted and oh so complicated for people to get to Jesus, to receive that grace. We set up roadblocks and checkpoints. Oh, you love Jesus? Do you really? Which version of the Bible do you read? How often? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What words specifically did you use to do that? Which church do you go to? Oh, what denomination is that? Who did you vote for? Where do you stand on this issue or that one? Do you keep your eyes open or do you close them when you pray? Do you have any receipt or some form of ID that proves you're a good Christian? Perhaps a fish bumper sticker for your car, maybe? And how often has one of God's own children simply walked away at one of those steps in the process, at one of those hoops, defeated, discouraged, overwhelmed? People often assume this verse in John's gospel and in Isaiah, which John is quoting, is a call to do something like this, to get to work, to get answers to these kinds of questions, to get ready, clear out all the waste and the rubble blocking the entry to your heart so Jesus can get in. And while you're at it, why don't you scrutinize the hearts and the consciences of the people around you too? But John is quoting Isaiah chapter 40. And if you haven't read it in a while, let me refresh you on the first line of that magnificent poetic chapter. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. This voice crying, make straight the way of the Lord, is meant to bring comfort, not fear or guilt or anxiety. Grace comforts. That's why we call it a gift. And grace is what you are called to share in the wilderness. We don't want just one voice crying out. We want all of yours together in harmony, because we've seen what happens when the way of Jesus is paved with something other than grace. We get the wilderness road, a treacherous, dangerous road. This wilderness would convince us that we must live in fear, that all of life is zero sum. More for you means less for me, whether that's pizza or Christmas cookies or the grace and love of God. It would have us believe there's practically no such thing as a neighbor. And even if there were, you owe them practically nothing. The wilderness would seduce you into believing you are right not to love your neighbor as yourself, even though that's Christ's command. What we confess as a sin every Sunday morning together, the wilderness would have you believe is wisdom, a virtue. The wilderness would distract us from our neighbor who needs our good works, by keeping us running back and forth, jumping through hoops, trying to prove our righteousness, trying to give our good works to God who doesn't need them, to earn a love that God gives away freely, richly, and abundantly through Christ. Grace cuts a straight path through that wilderness, through all that noise, straight to your heart, and leads you straight back out to a life of real, meaningful service, purely for your neighbor's sake. So here is the straightest and the shortest I can make it. God loves you. Always has, always will. And this Advent, I invite you to go share that news and prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.